Beloved congregation, have you ever wanted to give up? Ever been there where you want to throw in the towel and say, I've had enough? Maybe things are hard right now for you, and maybe they've been hard for you for quite some time already. Maybe you feel defeated and down and done, and your faith is being stretched. Your motivation is waning. Your strength feels like it's sapping away. Well, then this chapter is for you. Isaiah 40 is a chapter of comfort and encouragement and strengthening. The Lord used Isaiah during this part of his ministry to speak comfort to people just like you. People in the context, his own people, Israel, Judah, who would find themselves defeated and discouraged captives in the land of Babylon. Isaiah had prophesied in the chapter before. You know the story. Hezekiah had been sick. He was healed. One of the Babylonian kings sent messengers to him to congratulate him. And Hezekiah shows him all the treasures of the house. And Isaiah says to him, who are these men? And he says, oh, they were the men of the king of Assyria. And I showed him everything in my house. And Isaiah says, the day is coming when all those treasures will be in Babylon. And these people will be captive there. It's going to happen. In just a few decades, Jerusalem would be destroyed. Her walls would be in ruins. The temple burnt. The people weeping, feeling anguish. Many would be killed. The rest would be transported off to exile. But already now, when this is being prophesied, the Lord knew that for those people, the situation would be very dark. And so he moves Isaiah to prepare a word of comfort for them so that later when they're going through it, they could call to mind these words. They could have these words and draw comfort from them. And so in the very next chapter, we hear, comfort ye, my people. They didn't deserve it. They didn't expect it. Yet the Lord comes through with comfort. You see, congregation, the Lord knows the way that you take. He knows when his people are in affliction, when they're weary, when they're discouraged, when they'll need comfort, and so he prepares that comfort. He knows also this, that in affliction, in trials, his people will grow weak in faith. His people will even come to the point where they begin to question his control of the situation. Listen in verse 27. The Lord says, why are you saying, O Jacob, and O Israel, why speakest thou, my way is hid from the Lord? Maybe you've said that. In other words, does God even see me in the midst of this? But he has an answer. There is no searching of my understanding. They cry out, my judgment is passed over from my God. And that means God has failed to exercise justice on my behalf. I've fallen between the cracks. God has lost control of the situation. But children, can God lose control ever? No. Hear what he says. I give power to the faint, strength to the weak. Even when youths shall faint and young men shall fall, then in verse 31, our text, the Lord comes with an amazing promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This morning, let's consider God's promises for fainting souls. We'll see first that they're fitting promises, second, powerful promises, and third, trustworthy promises. First, then, fitting promises. Imagine with me a faithful Jew in exile. He's hundreds of miles from home. Return is impossible. All the ambitions he had are in ashes. He's fainting. He's weary. And this exiled Jew had one great question. What about God's promises? Is it not true that God said that Abraham's seed would be blessed and that all the nations of the earth, the families of the earth, would be blessed through Abraham and his seed? Where's that seed now? It's swallowed up by Babylon. That Jew knew the promise that Shiloh would come forth from Judah, but now Judah was crushed in the crucible of captivity. And it all led to weariness and fainting. The harps are hung on the willows, faces are long, and Babel's streams are filling up with tears. What will become of God's promises? Where is God? And that's when God, through Isaiah, now speaks. A word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of fresh promise. Zion is in a low estate, and the Lord comes. He comes, doesn't he? And when he always speaks for a reason. He comes in a fitting way. The words he brings are fitting. They match the present need at precisely the right time. And that's the case for you too, beloved. He knows how much you can handle, and he comes at exactly the right time to meet you where you're at, to relieve you. Some of you, no doubt, have experienced this. He meets you right where you're at with his promises. Right when you need it. You ever notice that? He doesn't promise to full people that he will satisfy their hunger. No, he comes to the poor and needy and the open-mouthed, and he fills them with good things. There's always this perfect fit, this match between the needs of the Lord's people and the word of the Lord as it comes to them. The condition of the Lord's people and the promise the Lord gives them. Judah is fainting and weary. They're about to give up. God says, he comes and he says that he will renew the weary. He comes to revive them. Think of your own situation. I don't know you all that well. Maybe your depression is draining you. Maybe the burden of your family or your children are heavy for you. Maybe for another one of you, it's caring for a sick or needy loved one. Maybe for yet another person, the cares of finances are straining your existence. Or maybe for others of you, you are in great need before God. You're weary, worn spiritually. And you're fainting even, maybe for lack of assurance of salvation. And you begin to ask questions in these differing circumstances. Where is the Lord? And has God forgotten me? Dear one, the Lord knows your exact condition. If you are weary, he knows. If you are fainting and you feel that you can't go on anymore, he sees. And here he comes with his promise this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Fitting. But secondly, promises that are only that are also powerful. That's our second point. What is meant by these words Isaiah says, they that wait? Well, the word simply means to trust. To depend on, to lean on God. To put all your eggs, as it were, in that basket. To strongly hope, to fully trust exclusively in God. In Psalm 62, David does this when he says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And now when we hear these words, they that wait, congregation, we immediately have a point of division. Because not all people do this. The text says they that wait, but not everybody waits on God. It doesn't say that all people shall renew their strength. It says only those that wait on the Lord. And the implication is that there are also other things in which people trust. Some people trust in men. They trust the charisma of politicians to encourage them or the comforts of family to strengthen them. Other people trust in riches. They think their wealth will give them strength and sustain them. Still many more lean on the physical strength that they presently have, their bodily energy that they feel will carry them through life, like the young men in the verses before our text. Let's look at it spiritually. Some look to their own achievements to renew their fainting souls. They look within. They think that something of their good deeds might merit some level of spiritual encouragement. Others trust in their zeal, religious zeal for spiritual renewal, but these things all peter out. They might seem robust. They might even be attractive to our hearts, but they will lead to fainting and weariness. All these things I just mentioned, they will lead to fainting and weariness because none of them place their trust in the Lord Jehovah. And that's what Isaiah is calling for. They that wait upon the Lord. Jehovah. The unchanging, the reliable I am that I am. The God of covenant. You see, the root, the taproot of strength that is promised in this text goes back to God Himself. It goes back to the character of the God upon whom we are called to wait. Children, I'm going to look here at four words, big words. I'll repeat them a couple of times as we look at them, but they are things that help us understand something of the greatness of God that we the God that we are called to lean on. And the first word is omniscience. Consider the omniscience of God. That means omni is all, science is knowledge, all knowing. God knows everything. You might think with Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, but it's not. In His hand are earth's deep places, the psalmist says. Think of the Mariana Trenches in the Pacific Ocean. The deepest place on earth, it's in His hand. Right there. He knows everything. Also your way. Maybe the deeps that you are in, His eyes pierce through all your darkness and they're upon you. He's all knowing. And that omniscience of God gives power to His promises because they come from one who knows all about your weariness. The second word is immutability, or immutable. Im is a prefix that means no or not, it's a negative, it's a negation. Mutable means to change, not change. God can't change. People will disappoint because people are constantly changing. But God never changes. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's always the same. He always has been the same. And it's the unchanging nature of God that gives added power to His promises. Because you can be sure that the promise you rest on today will not change 10 years from now. God won't change His word. He's immutable. Third word, omnipresence. All present, everywhere present. He is Jehovah Shammah, the one who is with us everywhere. When thou passest through the waters, He says, I'll be with thee. And again, this gives His promise such power because it means you can wait on Him even though you do not sense His presence. He's there. Even though you don't maybe feel it, He's omnipresent. He said to His fledgling church, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's omnipresent. But then the fourth word is omnipotence, and potency is power. He is all powerful. He can do anything. Isn't it true that what you need is someone who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? Jehovah God is that someone. He gives power to the faint. He increases strength to them that have no might. What an encouragement. Maybe you feel like you don't have this and it doesn't really apply to you. You can't go on, but if he says these words, then it doesn't actually matter that you're unable. Does it really matter if you feel weak and weary? You may not even possess the strength you need right now. It's not the point, is it? Isn't it true that even though you would be dead, if he says, I'll give you strength, then it will happen because he said it. His promise is certain. It's powerful. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does that mean, to renew strength? Well, it means to put a new thing in the place of an old thing. It means to exchange God's strength in place of your weakness. Think of the picture. He takes your weakness away and he puts his strength in its place. It is his strength being made perfect in your weakness. His strength shining all the more in the light of your weakness and therefore rendering him glory. He'll renew it. He'll refresh it. He'll exchange it for your weakness. You notice in the text it says, renew their strength, but the word there is in italics. Now that means that it's not in the original, but it's there to help the flow of the sentence. And so it literally reads, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew strength. It's strength that's not theirs, is it? But it's strength that's given to them by God. And this highlights for us what renewing means. It's new strength given every day, all the time, because there's nothing there to begin with. Little by little, day by day, God gives strength. Notice he doesn't pour out a year's worth of strength at once. No, he wants to keep you coming back to him day by day to wait on him for strength. And so continually, your strength is being renewed in exchange for your weakness. I'll renew it. If you have that, it's like tapping into an unlimited resource of daily strength. It's the kind of things that armies struggle with as they get deeper into enemy territory. Supply lines become a challenge. You might be in the deepest places. You have a supply line to this God who is all strength and whose promise is powerful for you. And you can depend on it. That power is there for all those who wait on him for it. And this leads us to our third point, that the promises of God in this text are so trustworthy. In our text, the Lord uses three pictures. Three amazing pictures to show how trustworthy his promise is. First, he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Children, you've seen many eagles many times around here, nesting in the trees on the mountains or eating fish by the river, and they're a beautiful sight. But the eagle in our text doesn't refer to a bald eagle or an osprey. It refers to a bird of prey in the Middle East, a vulture. The Middle East has a bird just like the turkey vulture. It's only bigger, the griffin vulture. And it's a bird that has an 8 to 9 foot wingspan. Think of an 8 foot 2x4. It's a pretty big bird. And those wings on those birds, they communicate strength, don't they? They tell us of power. That bird can get to heights that many other birds can't get to. And the Lord takes that picture of this soaring eagle mounting up higher and higher, and he says to weary people, that's what you will be like. That's what my promise will give you. And to receive it, to be like that, wait on me. And now I want you to notice something. Notice when you see an eagle soaring high, how does it do that? It's actually not the eagle himself doing anything, is it? It's a wonderful thing as this eagle's wings aren't flapping. They're just stretched out. And he's rising up on warm air. He's waiting on that rising air mass, and he's carried up without effort, without struggle, without sweat, without energy. And in a way, you can say that eagle implicitly trusts that air to carry him up. And so the Lord says, so must you. Trust my word. Trust in me. It is sure. It is trustworthy. Waiting on me. I will buoy you up. I will renew your strength day by day. It's the first picture. But then the second picture is one of running. The Lord says, they shall run and not be weary. Children, how long can you run before you grow weary? Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. If you're really in shape, maybe an hour, but then you'll be tired. You'll be worn out. But the Lord in our text talks about a nonstop runner. He says, those that wait on him will keep running, will not grow weary. What a miracle. They that wait on the Lord shall run and run and run and run on. You'll know that a cheetah is the fastest runner on earth. A cheetah can run faster than anything else in the world. But do you know what a cheetah cannot do? A cheetah cannot keep running. It can get up to those speeds for only very short bursts of time, and then it's got to slow down. That's what we read about in verse 30. These young men, they're the picture of independence, of self-reliance, of self-confidence, and they can run too, and they can do a good job of it, but only for a short while, and then they faint and they become weary, and they, as it were, drop out of the race. But the Lord says, it's different with those that wait upon me. They'll keep going. They run, and they're not weary. And then the third picture is a picture of walking. A man who walks can go a long ways, but eventually he too will grow tired and faint. He'll need water and rest. But the Lord comes with another surprise. They that wait on me will never stop walking. They shall walk and not faint. Constantly and consistently walking on, pressing on in the strength of the Lord who sustains them day by day. And God uses these three pictures to visually encourage us to trust and to wait on him. Maybe you hear this and you say, really? How can this be? My friend, there's much evidence that this promise is true and trustworthy. Look at God's people through the Bible. The people of God themselves are witness to this promise. Elijah was strengthened in his time of great depression. In Psalm 40, David was taken out of a horrible pit. That was a spiritual, a mental pit. Psalm 103 speaks of thy strength being renewed like the eagles, and that the psalmist there is speaking from experience. In Psalm 84, we read of the Lord's people going from strength to strength. And every one of them, not one is missing, appears in Zion before God. They all make it to the finish line. The Lord said to Moses, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Paul was given strength to bear his infirmity. And so many times in the Bible we find evidence of this to be true and trustworthy and dependable. Spiritually too, the Lord renews. David says, Psalm 130, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." And God lifted up his soul. It's not just in Bible times. The Lord has given over and over again in the lives of so many of his people through history and also our contemporaries the grace needed to carry on. Maybe you're witness yourself to this truth. In great trials, in impossibilities, humanly speaking, again and again, God has given more grace. And how could that be? How is it possible, child of God, that you could continue on in the midst of great hardships without throwing in the towel and giving up? It's because, only because, day by day your strength is renewed out of the unlimited resources of your everlasting God. It's not what you would expect. And yet it's your experience. And it's the experience of all who wait upon the Lord. And so I say to you all, and to us all, let us trust it, congregation. Let us try it. Let us believe this promise. Let us exercise this waiting on God. How, you say? How do I do this? It's by seeking his face. "Seek ye Jehovah and his strength," Isaiah says elsewhere. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." How do you seek his face? You say, call out to him. Wherever and whatever your need you're in. And ask him to strengthen you. That's true in the trials of our lives. It's true in temptations or difficulties. It's also true spiritually. Maybe you're struggling with sin. And you feel like the plaything of Satan because you have no strength to resist. Maybe you're struggling with assurance of salvation and you feel weak and you feel lost and you have no comfort, you have no hope. Go back to him. You need Christ. And he will fulfill this promise so that you are strengthened spiritually and able to go on and seeing ever clearer who he is and what he has done. Yes, it's all for Christ's sake. If we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in his life also the trustworthiness of this promise. He himself had his daily strength renewed from God. He himself was continually looking to his Father in prayer, spending time in a mountain to wait upon God in prayer to carry him on through his life, proving beyond all doubt the trustworthiness of this promise, because he, more than you or I ever could be, was weary. And yet his Father renewed his strength so that he could continue on even to suffer and to die for you there on the cross. Hear him waiting on his God as he says, my God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, even in death, his strength was renewed and he arose. And he ascended up into heavenly Mount Zion, there to appear in the presence of God for us, where he ever lives to make intercession for all those who wait upon him for daily strength. He's proved it. This promise is trustworthy. But he's done more than just prove it. He's also guaranteed it. He is the seal on this beautiful promise of God, congregation. It's like the Lord says, look, I've given this promise, and I gave my only begotten Son as a guarantee on this promise. Because ultimately, your renewed strength flows from him. Christ is your life. He's the root from which all strength is given in daily life, in our physical, physical and mental needs, but also spiritually. The taproot from which spiritual life flows. Child of God, you have no life in you. But the wonder is that what is in him flows from him to you. Life and strength. He who laid down his life as weak and died on the cross gives you strength. Now the question this morning is, do you wait on the Lord? If you are not waiting on him, that can only be because you do not trust him. You still doubt his trustworthiness. You still doubt his earnestness, his truth. And you do not be surprised if you become weak and if you become weary and worn out, because that's what will happen to you. You may still feel strong, but eventually that will be your end. You may not feel the need to wait on the Lord now, but you'll run out of energy. You won't be able to carry the day yourself. Because the Lord sees what the youths and young men in our passage don't see yet, their end. He sees their sure ruin if they stay away from him. If you depend on yourself, you're heading for ruin. You will utterly fall. And if you still doubt this or see no interest in this, then your condition is actually worse than fainting. And you need the Lord all the more. That makes this promise so urgent for you, because you need to be brought to see your inherent weakness, that you have nothing if you're not waiting on God. Hear this promise, beloved. There is strength in Christ for you. Through the glorious message of salvation, you can receive new strength and be turned from your dead state even to live, renewed by Christ and his gospel. Maybe someone listens to this and they say, well, I can't say that waiting on the Lord describes me. Because I look in my own life and I see so much impatience, I see so much sin. Maybe you lament your lack of trust and you see the doubts that swirl within. You feel the weakness of your body, the fragility of your health, maybe fear in your soul. It's true, we are so weak. We are lifeless in ourselves. Maybe you even say, I've tried to wait, but I have no strength. Dear one, confess your lack of strength to him. Just tell him. Just tell him. And that very telling the Lord will prove to be already the very waiting on him you say you lack. Takes us back to what waiting is at its heart, doesn't it? It's not something you have to do. Waiting at its heart is simply confessing to him, Lord, I have no strength. Being there, saying that, Confessing that is trust already, because it's looking away from yourself to the one who has everlasting strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Amen. O Lord, our God, we thank Thee for Thy word. And we ask, Lord, that this great promise that we have considered this morning would be laid upon our hearts, and that we would lay hold of it by faith and see in these words Jesus Christ Himself as the one who gives strength and the one on whom we are to rely. Forgive, we pray, our unwillingness and our lack of trust in Thee, and grant us to humble ourselves before Thee and under this word, and so to realize these great promises also in our lives. Be the after preacher of Thy word, Lord, and gracious.